Let us pray. Holy God, upon the mountain you revealed our Messiah, who by his death and resurrection would fulfill both the law and the prophets. By his transfiguration, enlighten our path, and we may dare to suffer with him in the spirit of humanity, and so share in the everlasting glory of him who lives and reigns with you in your Holy Spirit, one God forever. Amen. A reading from 2 Kings. Now when God was about to take Elijah up to heaven by a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal. Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here, for the Lord has sent me as far as Bethel." But Elisha said, "As God lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. The company of prophets who were in Bethel came out to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that today the Lord will take your teacher away from you?" And he said, "Yes, I know. Keep silent." Elijah said to him, "Elisha, stay here, for God has sent me to Jericho." But he said, "As God lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So they came to Jericho. The company of prophets who were at Jericho drew near to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that today the Lord will take your teacher away from you?" And he answered, "Yes, I know. Be silent." Then Elijah said to him, "Stay here, for God has sent me to the Jordan." But he said, "As God lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So the two of them went on. 50 of the company of prophets also went and stood at some distance from them, as they both were standing by the Jordan. Then Elijah took his mantle and rolled it up and struck the water. The ground was parted to the one side and to the other until the two of them crossed on the dry ground. When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, "Tell me what I may do for you before I am taken from you." Elisha said, "Please let me inherit a double share of your spirit." He responded, "You have asked a hard thing yet. If you see me as I am being taken from you, it will be granted you. If not, it will not." As they continued walking and talking, a chariot of fire and horses of fire separated the two of them, and Elijah ascended into the whirlwind into heaven. Elisha kept watching and crying out, "My father, my father, the chariots of Israel and its horse riders." But when he could no longer see him, he grasped his own clothes and tore them in two pieces. The word of life. Thanks be to God. A reading from 2 Corinthians. If our gospel seems hard to see, it's hard only to those who are not looking. The lure of worldly desires has blinded them and keeps them from seeing the reality of the light in Christ, who is the image of God. For I am not proclaiming a message that's about me. I am proclaiming Jesus Christ as my higher power and myself as your helper for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," has shone in our hearts so that we ourselves shine with the glory of God that we have seen in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in clay jars so that it may be made clear that this extraordinary power belongs to God and does not come from us. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be.
Listen for the living word of God as you hear the good news from Mark's gospel in the 9th chapter. Mark has just told us that Jesus said to his disciples that he could see that they were going to kill him, but he was going to keep going and that he would be raised from the dead. Peter, of course, said, "No way, that's not going to happen." And Jesus had to scold Peter and say, "Stop fighting me. Get out of my way." And then he called the disciples to him and described how you have to die in order to live. You have to be willing to give your life. And then Mark says, 6 days after that, Jesus took Peter and James and John with him up a mountain alone by themselves. And Jesus was transfigured before them, and his clothes shone dazzling white, whiter than any cleaner on earth could bleach them. And there appeared to them Moses and Elijah, and they were talking with Jesus. And Peter said, "Oh, Rabbi, it's good that we're here. Let me set up a tent, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah." He didn't know what he was saying. He was terrified. But a cloud came and enveloped them all. And out of their cloud, there came a voice saying, "This is my son, my beloved. Listen to him." And suddenly they looked around and they didn't see anybody except just Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus ordered them not to talk about what they had seen to anybody until after the new human had been raised from the dead. So they kept this matter to themselves, but they kept wondering what this being raised from the dead could mean. The Gospel of the Beloved, Jesus Christ. It's a good place for that story to end, with the disciples wondering not only what raising from the dead could mean, but maybe a lot of other things, like what just happened? What was that all about? It's one of those stories that we wonder about and we struggle to try to understand. And you can spend your brain trying to understand it. There's a lot that's packed in there. Partly it's a story that's designed to show us Jesus as the light of the world. Jesus is the Son of God. Partly it's a story that's designed to help us see Jesus as the completion of the law, which was the gift of Moses and the prophets like Elijah. And when they use that phrase in Jesus' time, the law and the prophets, that's the equivalent of us talking about the Old and New Testaments. It was the parts of Scripture. So it's sort of like a visual representation of Jesus completing the law and the prophets. It's sort of Mark's version of when John says Jesus is the Word of God made flesh. It's a story about the way of the cross. Jesus starts out by telling people he thinks they're going to kill him, and he's going to keep on doing this anyway. And Peter says, "That can't possibly be right." And 6 days later, God says, "No, listen to him." And on the way down, Jesus talks about the resurrection as if he knows he's going to die. And it's especially not just about God's validation of the way of the cross, but also the promise of resurrection. Because there's Jesus shining as if he's already died and gone to heaven and got his long white robe. And he's talking with dead people. It's like Jesus is already resurrected. All of that stuff is packed into that story. But you could spend a lot of time trying to understand the story and miss it. I think that's what Peter was trying to do with this insane suggestion that he erect three tents, three little shelters, one for Moses and one for Elijah and one for Jesus, as if he sort of happened to bring building materials in his backpack on this hike up the mountain. What was he thinking? I think that was Peter trying to sort of somehow create a container to put this amazing experience in, some way of making sense of it, to understand it, to put it in some kind of box. And God says, "You can't do that. Because this isn't something that you can understand." It's hard for us, 21st century rational people, because we want to understand everything. So when we read the Bible, we think that it's a description of something that happened once. And so we want to know, so is that the way it happened? And that's totally an irrelevant question. It's like going to Hamlet and asking, well, is that the way it actually happened? No, that's the way it happens all the time. There's more truth than fact in the Bible. The Bible is not about what happened. The Bible is about what it's like to live with God And so there are all these stories that are symbolic representation of our experience of God, some of which are rooted in specific experiences, and some of which are just rooted in what it's like to be with God. Think about the most important things in your life, the people who mean the most to you. You can't explain that with words. I mean, you could use words to describe your relationship. You could use words to say some things they like about you. But there are no words that can really express what they mean to you. The most significant experiences you've had in your life, the gifts, the losses, the struggles, the mysteries, they're all mysteries. They're all just things that you can't explain. Sometimes the Bible leads us to that place, because all of the Bible, every word in the Bible, whether it's rooted in a historical event or not, is an icon in which we just gaze and see the mystery of God. And sometimes there is no explanation. Explaining it kind of spoils it. Growing up, my family had a table prayer that we always frequently said around the dinner table. The story is that it comes from the novel Ben Hur. It's the story that the wise men prayed on the way to find this newborn king. And the prayer is, Father of all God, what we have here is of thee. Take our thanks and bless us, that we may continually do thy will. The story is that when my mommy and daddy were sitting at the dinner table with me when I was about 2 years old, once they said to me, Stevie, would you like to say the prayer? And I said, okay. And so I closed my eyes and got all prayerful and pious, like I probably thought you were supposed to do. And I started in with what my little two-year-old brain could grasp of what we have here is of thee. And what I said was, wowie, 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 wowie. You know, for the last 62 and a half years, that's been my favorite prayer. Partly because it evokes for me that blessing. It really is a beautiful prayer. What we have here is of thee. Take our thanks and bless us that we may continually do thy will. Partly, I love it because it holds together all the memories of that family blessing through all of the years of my life. And partly the reason I like it is because one of my most frequent prayers is just, wow. Wowie, 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 wowie. I bet it's one of yours. I hope the other day, or a couple days, I hope you went outside or at least looked out the window and saw the ice on every little twig and branch and every little pine needle. I went out in the woods and watched the sun come up through all that, and it was like there was this explosion of light, like every single bush was the flaming bush that Moses saw that was burning but not consumed. It was like every single tree was a Christmas tree. It was this diamond mine full of sparkles, and I just stood there and thought, wowie, wowie, wowie. You've been watching the Olympics? You see these skaters do these incredible things. They're just skating along, and all of a sudden, they look backwards, and you think, oh, here it comes. And all of a sudden, they go, boo, and they launch up into the air, and they go, and they come down, more often than not, landing on their feet and not breaking their necks. And I go, wowie, wowie, wowie. And the commentators can explain the difference between a lutz and a loop and an axle, and I forget right away. And they can show you in slow motion, and you can count the rotations as you watch their legs go around. All those explanations just don't do it for me. I just want to see it. I just want to watch them go, and I go, wowie, wowie, wowie. The snowboarders come careening down this mountain at 190 miles an hour and hit these jumps, and they go, and they flip out about, I don't know, 40 or 50 times. and they land and they keep going and do it again. And I go, wowie, wowie, wowie. Think about children. The children that you love, the children that you watch, the children that play around here, and how you see God in them. Doesn't it make you just sort of step back and go, wow, wowie, wowie, wowie? I think of how I watch in you, so many of you, wrestling with God, getting close to God, listening for God, doing these crazy things because God leads you that way. Wrestling with these huge mysteries of life. And I'm in awe and I just pray, wowie, wowie, wowie. I think of how many losses there are among us. How many of you have lost loved ones, dear, important people? Some recently and some long time ago, but just parts of your heart. And I see how those missing people are not entirely missing. They're still here. They're still with you. And they still matter. And I see how somehow, even with that load of grief in your backpack, you go on. And you are capable of experiencing joy and hope and love and beauty. And I just think, wow, wowie, wowie. You keep putting one foot in front of another and I'm amazed. There are no words for that. I'm just in a state of awe. I think the Transfiguration is a story that simply invites us into a state of wonder. We set all of our rational explanations aside. And we need to do that because so often our rational explanations get in the way. Peter couldn't see the glory if he put all three of those guys inside tents. Most of Van Gogh's paintings are pretty small. He has a few that are bigger. And there's one of them, I think, in fact, this was at the Boston Museum of Fine Arts that I was just standing in front of one day in awe, just looking. And Van Gogh is one of my saints who just really speaks to me. I just look at his paintings and I start crying. And I'm in awe of this painting and what it's saying and what Vincent is doing, and partly just, it's here and I get to see this real live Van Gogh. And in the middle of this reverie, this woman comes around the corner with a little camera. She goes, ooh, Van Gogh. And she walks off. And I almost shouted out aloud to her and said, wait, wait, wait. You forgot to actually look. She didn't even see the painting. She just came in and, oh, that's a Van Gogh. Took a picture and left. How often do we do that with our lives? How often do we miss the mystery and the beauty and the wonder because we're busy trying to understand it and get it on film and capture it instead of just being there in the moment, being in this state of awe, just allowing our faith not to be what we believe, not our opinions about God, but just wonder. Because this world is wonderful. It's full of miracles. Every little thing that happens is miraculous. And when we see little kids, we notice that they're beautiful. And sometimes when we see adults, we forget to notice that they haven't stopped being beautiful. It's still there. When you see the sunrise, you think it's beautiful. And when it's a cloudy day, you forget that it's still beautiful. You're just not looking in the right place. The Transfiguration is a story that refuses to allow us to think we understand anything. It invites us to simply be in awe of an awesome God. To just wonder. Because life is wonderful. And to trust that that is enough. Wowie, wowie, wowie. Will you pray with me? God, open our hearts to shine with the light of your glory by receiving it. Help us to know the deep faith of awe and wonder, the faith of not knowing, just being amazed. God, we thank you. And we hope always to be in a state of awe at your grace. And so we pray for the faith to receive your blessings, to be mindful of your presence, and to listen for your voice, and for the courage to trust your deep desire for us, surrendering everything to your love, to live in harmony with your grace. Amen.